see you coming back in here with duckie jumpsies. I want to see you coming back in here with bloodstained jumpsies.
Look at anybody going sitting up a pint with those boys after that.
And the referee is looking around and acting as Mickey.
Tell the children to play tennis or something.
If they want to play tennis, go and play tennis.
Hello and welcome to the Balls Daily GAA podcast. My name is Morris Brosnan and we're back. The 2019 season is well underway at this stage and we'll be here every week bringing you coverage from across the country and interviews every single week. Before we get going, we've actually got a favour to ask of everyone. As of now, this podcast is unnamed and we want your help to change that. So any suggestions can be sent to thegaffer at balls.ie or get us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at balls.ie. We'll get a GA package together with different bits and bobs and some of the best sports books and that, and we'll get that to the best suggestion and winner of the podcast. I'm joined as usual by Mark Farrelly, who today uttered his first words after the trauma of watching his beloved Cavan hammered by a Galway C team. Mark, how's it going?
I'm still a bit shook. Also, you know, I'm sad to wave goodbye to the so-called weaker podcast. I felt it was a great name, but the problem was it didn't make any sense for most of the year. It's great for the league and it's great for the first couple of rounds of the championship. But then it's like, is it really a so-called weaker podcast where there's only four teams left in the All-Ireland? So we're going to have to get something that's a bit more all-encompassing. We didn't have much foresight last year when we came up with that name. So something that's going to work every week. Like, we have the hard shoulder already is one we've had before, but I don't know, I think we can do better.
Yeah. In the same way that David Clifford broke through and enjoyed a sensational debut season last year, we've got a new and upcoming star with us today making his debut. Aaron Strain, welcome.
Morris, how are you?
Good, thanks, yeah.
I'm good.
Before we get going, lads, Mark, Cavan, what happened?
Well, what do you mean what happened? Like, where, like the weekend itself?
So
the match,
I suppose we'll tee this up for the listener at home. So I spent a week in the office hearing about how Cavan for Sam was a genuine cause this year and that they were going to storm into the league, go down to Salt Hill and tear it up. And especially with Given Galway, were decimated by injuries and club players being
18 players, I believe they were missing. Yeah, look it. I believe my phrase was, mark my words, Cavan will not be bet on Sunday. And then they were bet. But we're going to go, like, it was a big weekend itself. I was very excited, obviously. Went down to Galway for the weekend, arrived down Saturday night in the pissings of rain. Through the whole. We drove through rain, wind, hail, snow. We drove through Tang. We drove through Ballymahan. We drove through Granard. We went through every shit place in the country to get to Galway, to the acclaimed Travel Lodge Hotel. So we got there, decided we had an agenda set out for the night. There's four of us there. We were going to rank the top eight clubs, what we would feel would be the top eight clubs in Cavan come the end of 2019. We had to revisit our top 15 Cavan players of the last 17 years, updated from what had happened in the last year, and also because of the backlash we got on Twitter last year for it. And then we also, one of the lads had the suggestion that we pick a team of 15 from the rest of Ireland to beat Dublin. So out we go in Galway. And we're sitting, I can't remember the name of the bar actually. It begins with M. It's not Munro's, is it?
Munro's, yeah.
Yeah, we're in Munro's, around the back of Munro's.
Brilliant spot, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great spot. Except, but we needed a place that was quiet, do you know? We like, we went into the Keys, we took one look at that live music and people there on the floor like that. We're not having that. We need a quiet corner. So we get into this quiet corner. There's a long table. There's four of us sitting in the corner and there's no one at the other end of the table. And we're writing away and we decided, rather than just going, this lad needs to be in, we're Beggan needs to be in, Clifford needs to be in, Lee Keegan needs to be in. Like, look, we go through every county in Ireland and pick out a long list of players and then narrow it down. So we're in the middle of doing that and these four Spanish women sit down beside us. And they're like, what are you doing? And we're like, we'll put together a team of the best 15 to beat Dublin. And they're like, sorry. So we explained it to them and then they tried to chat to us about life and Galway and their nannies and Athlone or something. And to be fair, we couldn't get away from them quick enough. So we literally had to move out of the pub. But thanks be to God, the Spanish women left. And we managed to get the 15 anyway. And what this has to do with Cavan against Galway, it's almost like I'm distracting you from what
it's
happened
GAA
the following
weekend,
day.
Mark. It's gone,
so. Well, yeah, it wouldn't be the first time Cavan men were terrified at the sight of Spanish women either. So I suppose the team you picked, I think we'll start with that and then we can raise our own contentions based off that.
Yes.
So running through it here, you've got Rory Beggin who goes, the two Wileys and Park Hampsey in your fullback line.
Yeah.
Durkin, Keegan and Carl O'Connell as your halfbacks. Your midfield is David Moore and Matty Donnelly. You've got Jim and O'Connor, Michael Murphy and Ryan McHugh as your half forward line. And then your full forward line is McManus, Damien Comer and McBrearty. I think before we actually get into it, it's worth clarifying for the sake of the comments that this podcast will get, but also the comments that the Post initially got. It's not an all-star team. It's a team to beat Dublin,
exactly,
which is a very different thing.
Exactly. So it's also, you see, Morris is on the same sheet page as me now. And also, it's worth clarifying that this isn't my selection. This is Brexit. This is like Brexit. Negotiations had to happen. And it's also worth mentioning that you might laugh at us for not ignoring those Spanish women, but to be fair, that is a hell of a team.
So I think we'd start. I think the three of us are probably agreed on Rory Beggin in goals.
But do you know what? I was actually going to say one thing that I think with Dublin, would you say that Beggin is a great shot stopper? Because the goalkeeper issue, I think. There's enough boys in a team that's going to beat Dublin that's going to be able to hit a free kick or a couple of free kicks or a 45. But Beggin as a shot stopper, I just...
Well, would you believe what happened was we sat down on Saturday night and they said, this is because we knew this was going to take a long time, where they went, one of the lads went, well, sure, the one thing we can all agree on is Beggin goals. And I went, hang on. And I got lambasted for it. I would be borderline putting Graham Brodie in there.
Yeah, I'm all on that. Yeah, I started that bandwagon in 2018. The so-called weaker podcast might be dead, but the Graham Brodie bandwagon is not.
I think the lads are like, no, look it. I mean, you, Rory Beggin, like Dublin are going to put on that big press, and Rory, they're going to try and press the kickouts, and Rory Beggin is just going to launch it over all of them. And also, if they don't press, Rory Beggin can also go short. His kickouts actually are nearly more important against Dublin than anything.
Yeah.
So we're going back to Rory Beggin then, are we?
Well, I don't know.
It's hard to get away from him. He was the first name I wrote down on the sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But then you thought, myself,
we'll move on from that. The two Wileys and Park Hampsey. The only other shout I can think of there is Owen Ban Gallagher, who...
Yeah.
I think if you're looking at Dublin, what you actually need to think about is these like really athletic players. Like the one example when I look at this is like somebody like Cullum Kavanagh is obviously an all-star, but he never plays well against Dublin. So, yeah. Whereas a player like Owen Ban Gallagher, who's athletic and will pull someone like Mannion up, yeah. I think the space for him.
The other shout I had, the entire night I was adamant he was going in, and I can't remember at what point I decided he wasn't going in, that I gave in, but at some point I must have, was McKernan from Tyrone as well at cornerback.
Yeah, he did an astonishing year last year. He actually took McManus in the semi final in the end, in the second half, and was brilliant on him.
Yeah.
So, I guess I'd be in favour of bringing in Owen Ban Gallagher and leaving in Wiley and Hampsey. I don't know about you.
Yeah, what do you think?
Obviously people can't see my team here, but like, I mean, my team is extremely defensive, and what I've gone for, extremely.
You can't tell. Aaron's monster.
We're talking, you know, four man forward line here and all and everything, but, you know, I have Wiley, I have Hampsey, I have McKernan and Owen Ban Gallagher in the half-back line, which tells you how defensive mine is.
Jesus Christ.
But I just think that, you know, with Dublin, with the talent in, you know, inside, that you just need lads that are literally going to stick to them, like, you know.
Yeah,
like
what you have is, shit. You have, like, it's a defensive team, but it's not like a Tyrone-style defensive team, that sounds like. That sounds like a defensive team where you're just going to go man-on-man, but the best man markers in the country.
Yeah, that's exactly what, that's what I'm looking at here. But yeah, somebody like Chris Bard as well at in Mayo, another fella that, you know, who's really stick it, like, you know, six and players like glue. I think if Dublin are given even half a yard, you know, inside, you know, you're in trouble. Yeah. So anybody that can do a real man marking
job. You don't need a sticky. That's not what you need. Like the Dublin have overcome sticky play. Owen Kernan is a sticky cornerback for Galway last year, but Mannion ran him out the field. He brought him out 65. You need players.
Like, but Owen Ban Gallagher, the only reason. The reason we didn't, I'll tell you why we didn't put Owen Ban Gallagher in, because everybody was like, oh yeah, Owen Ban Gallagher. Then we looked at our half back line, and our half back line was too attacking to have an attacking cornerback.
But
so we were
too
like,
attacking. That's like. I think if you withdraw like that way, what Dublin will do is trying to run the legs off you. Like you've got players like Howard, all these really mobile half forward line. So you like,
yeah, but our half back line is grand. We didn't want to leave it with two men.
Two gung ho, yeah. Like the team that I think we would all be in consensus here that if most put up to them is Mayo, and Mayo drive at them from that halfway line. So that's what Lee Keegan did with Stuart McConnelly, for example.
One of that as well was adamant that Keith Higgins should get in a cornerback.
Yeah, which isn't a bad shout, actually. I still think.
Then we didn't talk about three or four Mayo defenders.
We're all in agreement with Wiley and Hamsey. You have to come down to someone in cornerback. I'm saying Ombane Gallagher. Aaron,
I would say McKernan. Then if we're.
Well, I'm going back to me McKernan.
McKernan. Okay, so McKernan's in there instead of Ryan Wiley in cornerback. So we'll move on to the.
Oh, wait, now we're getting rid of Ryan Wiley. That was true.
No, we can't be here all day. Come on. We'll go up to the half forward line, half back line, sorry. Carl O'Connell, I think we'll all be in agreement that he deserves to be in. Lee Keegan, and the other one is Durkin.
Durkin actually played cornerback, I think, against Mayo or against Dublin in that final. So that was one of the things. We picked him, and then I was like, it was the next day, and I'm like, lads, Durkin's a cornerback. He's not a wingback.
See, that's it, do you? Like, I mean, well, it depends what are we going with.
Your options there, looking at that, is probably you got Owen Doyle and Kildare, who had a great year last year. You've also got somebody like McCann from Tyrone, who wouldn't have a bad final either.
Yeah. Peter Hart.
Peter Hart, too, yeah.
Lads, you really need to take a look at my team, how defensive it is. I've got McCann playing wing half forward in a defensive role.
You're not bringing that Ulster bias the first
thing Mark bloody mentioned when I came in was Brexit, so I thought, well, whilst I'm here, I might as well.
Well, like, the other thing is you can put Ryan McHugh back in half as an attacking half back.
Yeah, I'd be in favour of that.
Lads, I have a long list here of every player in the country nearly.
Not where
did Tag Morley make it?
No.
See, the problem is we have to have this podcast out by Sunday. So
Chris McKeag.
We're both in agreement.
She's poor. Forgive me. Sorry, Chris, but I mean he is. Nah, I don't think
we're on agreement with Keegan and O'Connell. We're coming down to the other wing.
And I think you have to decide in your half forward line before you decide in your half back line, or even your midfield, because Matthew Gonnie could go centre half back.
I'd agree with you because I think. Someone said
on Instagram to me, go back and says, you put the best five in the country at number six.
I don't think. So we'll park that wing back and we'll move on to midfield.
I was saying that it's centre half back is probably the. If you have Keegan and O'Connell on the wing half back.
Yeah, we're going for a centre back. Which gives another case for Owen Doyle from Kildare.
Yeah.
But we'll move on from that and we'll go to midfield. We'll come back to that and we'll go to midfield. David Moran, I think we're all probably in agreement on that.
More or less, yeah.
Matty Donnelly, I wouldn't be a favourite. I think Niall Kearns from Mayo. Now, that's coloured, though, by the fact that you didn't see what Monaghan did last weekend. You also have someone like Fintan Kelly, who was great last weekend. Yeah. I think Niall Kearns, is, especially from the in this new age of the mark, what he does from kickouts especially, and what you're talking about when you're talking about the field is somebody who's going to live with Fenton or McCarthy or McCauley, who are all going to run. So it's not just about being like technically proficient. You need somebody who's going to be unbelievably athletic, which I think right now, looking at that, Niall Kearns, maybe even someone like Tom Flynn from Galway would be a similar shout. But I don't think, like, you could probably pull Matty Donnelly back the field.
Yeah, I think you put Matty Donnelly centre back and put Lee Keegan wing back.
Yeah, but so who comes in midfield then? I'm saying Niall Kearns.
Well, like, what about, like, I mean, you went Niall Kearns. I actually put Fintan Kelly down.
Did you? Okay, yeah.
I love Fintan Kelly. Yeah. I think he's so good.
Fintan Kelly was amazing last week.
And he's like Monaghan's elixir when it comes to Dublin. Like, I mean, last year, in the league last year, he came on in the 74th minute and scored the winning point. He was brilliant there on Sunday. Yeah. But why not as well? You know, and you're talking about somebody who's going to work, you know, it is, you know, against Dublin, you're going to have to work. There's no better worker than bloody Fintan Kelly.
Yeah, I'd go with Fintan Kelly over Kearns. Just because I wanted Fintan Kelly in the team somewhere. I was thinking of him as cornerback last week, when we were doing the team. And then I was like, well, he's not really a cornerback anymore. So then I stopped thinking of him as an option. Whereas, midfield, especially after, given now that we've seen what happened on Sunday. I love Fintan, like, because you have Moran there who's going to be able to challenge in the air. So you're not as dependent on Kearns or the likes of a Flynn. So you can go with a really, as we said, run Dublin into the ground. Kelly will go all day. He'll track Fenton up and down that pitch. We're going to beat Dublin, lads. With a team managed up a modern players, which disgusts me.
I think this is the Ulster bias. We're setting a dangerous precedent here again.
Oh, Jesus.
We'll go with Kelly belatedly with my own reservations about that. And we'll move on to the half forward line, bearing in mind that we still need a centre back.
Yeah.
So you've gone for Ryan McHugh, Murphy and Jim O'Connor, which is one that proves contentious enough. Straight off the top of my head, I think Shane Walsh had a brilliant semi-final against Dublin last year. There's definitely a shout for him. Yeah. You've also got players like, you know, the likes of Ian Burke, who might be able to come out, depending on what you're going to do in your full forward line. And that's what I suppose when we're looking at here is we're kind of trying to pick six forwards again who can beat Dublin. Yeah.
The reason that we had Jeremy O'Connor in there was because, one, he had the best display of anybody in last year's championship when he played for against Kildare. Yeah. And two, if it was, we picked two working wing forwards who are going to run up and down. Like, you put Jeremy O'Connor on Jack McCaffrey and he's going to track him up and down all day. He'll cover 20k if you need him.
See, there. It's the key. McCaffrey is the key. If in a wing forward, you're thinking about McCaffrey more than you're thinking about going forward.
It's funny you say that. I always thought that Ryan McHugh was included for that explicit reason, that he was going to counter McCaffrey, that he was going to be the player that lived with him. And then on the other side is your forward who, like, you have to leave forwards up. I know we've invited Aaron on and he's already trying to infra the 14-man defensive line. You have to leave forwards up against them. It's not going to work otherwise. And
but I agree with you, Morris. But, like, I mean, I reckon that if you can leave four, and, like, I mean, we've got the pick of bloody the rest of Ireland here. Yeah. If you can leave four top-quality forwards who aren't going to hit wides, you know, that are able to score under pressure, you know, that's it. You know, I feel like you can afford to drop two boys back. Because that's
You can play Aidan O'Shea at centre half forward either, or, you know, and Michael Murphy. Michael Murphy legs go, bring on Aidan O'Shea. They're an outball. On the, put them on the 40. Play an old school style centre half forward / third midfielder.
Mobile enough for them.
Yeah. They don't need the other two boys will do the running. See, they're in for the run. This sounds like I'm picking a lad at 50 at Junior B. Although the lads will run for you, but you
so for going with O'Connor and McHugh on either wing, who are we going for in centre forward?
Michael Murphy.
Again, it depends what your three are inside. I went with Clifford on mine, just because he's big enough to be that outball, but, you know, he's also got a bag of tricks as well, you know. So he'll give out the field, he'll give Dublin more to think about than inside, I thought.
Is he proven at centre half forward though?
Well, maybe not, but, you know, he's a mercurial talent.
But it's also, again, it's what you're talking about is with Dublin is the idea that they're centre half back is going to probably drop off. He's probably going to sweep the way Keno Sullivan did. We don't know if Keno Sullivan is going to play there this year, but let's say it's McCarthy instead, or if they are still going to do this thing. And where I think Dublin might be exposed, I think Monaghan showed it last week. Galway definitely showed it in the semi-final. It also was kind of evident against Tyrone as well. At the very end of the game, high ball in the front. I don't think they've ever really replaced Rory O'Carroll. No, they've got Sean McMahon from Raheny, who was brilliant in the O'Byrne Cup, especially in the game against Meads. And he's kind of like an explosive player who kind of reminds me a small bit of Philly McMahon, but was playing fullback that day and was also great. Like, he was challenging Mickey Newman, who was there full forward that day, had a storm last week as well, actually, and was like really tussling with him in the air as well, which is something that I don't think they necessarily have. I actually think that was most exposed last week.
Oh, it was, yeah.
So if you're bearing that in mind, that he'll have a little bit more leeway there, then maybe Clifford is right for centre forward.
Well, that's why, because, I mean, you know, we'll move on obviously now to the full forward line, but my full forward line is the exact same forward line that you picked.
I think that McBrearty's contentious.
Yeah,
people are saying McBrearty's contentious because Clifford should be in the team.
Yeah, but you
see, solves that problem.
Yeah. So we're going to relocate Clifford into centre forward. I think McBrearty shouldn't be in the team. I think it's Ian Burke, because what he would do for every other player.
Ian Burke. Yeah, well, no, to be fair, we were at the game then on Sunday because this is Saturday. They're like, that's how is Ian Burke now? Because he beat Gavin himself.
Before we move on to the forward line, actually, we need to pick centre back.
Right.
Because now that we've picked.
Wait, now, the other thing is, are you telling me Michael Murphy isn't going in this team?
I don't think Michael Murphy should be in that team.
Sweet. Mother of all the Brawlies.
But we're talking about against Dublin, Mark. It's not like Michael. I don't think it's a slight on a player like Michael Murphy.
No,
if we're picking
not.
A 15, to literally counter Dublin. Like, we're going into specifics as in the man he's going to be up against. If you're James McCarthy, would you rather be marking Michael Murphy or David Clifford?
If you're Mick Fitzsimons, who would you like? I mean, because you're going to play Murphy, surely. Would you play Murphy? Are you going to play Murphy at centre forward, or would you?
You've got full forward, or you've got midfield. Probably not midfield.
No, I wouldn't have midfield.
No, he is an option of full forward, but then I want Comer at full forward.
Yeah, well, every yeah.
So I think what we're talking about as our full forward line now is we better pick a centre back. We have to make a decision on that.
I think Matty Donnelly.
You've got a vote as well, Aaron. Who are you going for? I'm going for Owen Doyle, by the way.
I would probably go with Doyle over Donnelly.
Because of the who he's playing with, the two wing backs, I'd say Owen Doyle. I'd go with Owen Doyle.
Yeah.
Registered 2-1.
It's probably by far and away, and as it's proved here, it's the toughest position to pick on probably that team.
Yeah. So we'll run through the team before we go into full forward line that we've now agreed on. So right now we're at Beggin, Hamsey, Wiley, McKernan. Then we're going with Carl O'Connell, Lee Keegan, and centre back. We're going on Doyle.
Well, it's 2-1.
No choice. So
David Moran is midfield. David Moran's midfield partner that we agreed on was
Fintan Kelly.
Then we've got O'Connor and McHugh. Centre forward, we're putting in David Clifford.
I don't agree with that, but look it.
And now we're going on to the full forward line.
Again.
We're going to the full forward line. And quickly, right now we've got McManus, Comer, McBrearty. I think we could go with Comer, Ian Burke, and McManus.
Shane Walsh.
Well, if Shane Walsh on the team, he's going half forward line. So I think we're all agreement that Comer, especially how he played in the semi-final last year, should be in the team.
Yeah.
I think Conor McManus, despite the fact that he kind of struggles in that scenario, like coming off the back of last year, I still think he has to be in that team.
Yeah.
So the only other one is in the corner.
Yeah.
My vote is going for Ian Burke. I don't want you to make an argument. I want you to tell me what your answer is, Mark.
See, my answer is Clifford in the corner and Murphy at centre-half forward. But if I'm choosing between McBrearty as well, Aaron, you choose first.
Well, I chose McBrearty. Like, I mean,
so I have the deciding vote.
You have the deciding vote here, yeah.
I think Burke is going to add something different.
Else. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
He's going to, like, you get the ball into Burke. You've got two options then. You can go high into Comer. But, like, Jesus, imagine David Clifford with a little through pass into Burke. Burke hand passing it off to Conor McManus coming off the shoulder. Yeah. McManus is over the bar before Dublin know what's hit them.
Yeah.
That's this team. I can't wait for the Ireland final.
So that's your team. If you have any thoughts on this, you can let us know at boys.ie on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Right now, next we're going to speak to Terry Hyland, who's the Leitrim football manager.
The man got a boot in the head and there's a lot to be said to referees today. They're not getting coached, have no.
Okay, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Terry Hyland now, manager of Leitrim Footballers. Terry, how's it going?
Very good, and you?
Great, thanks. Yeah, good. I suppose first things first, it was a great result last week.
I thought, yes, it was good to get off the mark. First day out, you'd like to put a little nick on the post, as they say, and then we can build on it from there.
Yeah. Like, what sort of importance or significance would you be placing on the league now? There's a lot of talk this week, especially about how it can define the kind of so-called weaker county season. Would you be like prioritising the league?
Well, of course we would. You know, I mean, I think Leitrim has been in Division 4 of that league since its inception, so it's kind of important that they get out of it now, whether that happens in year one or year two, but it would be the main aim of Leitrim. And then to build on, if you get success in the league, you can build on that going into championship.
Yeah. There was a report in the Leitrim Observer during the week that I might have taken a half-time rollicking to get them going. Was there any truth in that?
I didn't notice the Leitrim Observer in the dressing room at halftime.
Terry, when you took over, obviously Leitrim last year had a bit of an up and down league in terms of they were scoring a load one week and then they were getting low scores the next. What was your priority in terms of what was the first thing to sort? Get lads out, I suppose, committing to the
lads out, and I suppose maybe, you know, for the like of the lead comes and teams and that. I think, you know, sometimes the priority becomes when guys get in is purely down on the S and C side of things. And we probably work more on the football side of things if you prepare for the league this year. And it might have been a little bit of a difference for them. I know, look, you're going to get yo-yo sometimes in scores. And the league, weather is a big factor this time of the year. You can see that you've seen the results, we'll say, on Saturday night from past, you know, 6 and 7 scores in a game. You know, that's truly down to weather. And you can get that condition and that can change, you know, from one weekend to the next weekend, and I can have a major bearing on where the scoreline's going games, you know.
And it must have been a great boon as well to get Jason on board, Jason Riley, because he was closely linked to the Cavan manager's job. So to have someone who's of that standard as well working in the backroom team too.
Yeah, well, Jason has, you know, Jason's been, I was helping out Paulie Dolan with Belturbet last, and Jason's part of that club down. I mean, I would know Jason a long time from back. I would have managed Jason, I've been involved with management Jason back with Cavan back in the 90s, and that gentleman, I would know Jason way back to that time, and, you know, we would have had a good working relationship. And to be fair, Jason got involved with my own club, Lacken, and I'm running into meet a champion with them, and he went on to be involved with the Gales as well. So, you know, we knew he was going to bring something good to the party.
On that point, actually, I think a lot of people would have kind of been caught by the idea that you were quoted at the start of the month talking about training players in Dublin. I think, I know you were involved in the ESRI report about the demands on intercounty players as well. Like, the line was, sometimes it's easier to bring the mountain to Muhammad, I think, than the other way around. Like, what you're thinking behind that, is that to handle kind of the commitments of the modern day player now?
Well, it is. Well, look, to be fair, as you go back to this early report and you actually borrowed into it and asked the players outside of Dublin and, you know what I mean, in the major cities, where they put in the most of the time as a guy probably football or training is actually on the road.
Okay, yeah.
You know, the end of the day, most training sessions only last an hour and a half, 2 hour max. Somebody's coming in to do a very heavy session, and maybe pre-match days it might only be 35 to 40 minutes. So most of them guys are losing their time on the road, sitting in cars for an Eton player to come to County Kinshannon or to the Centre of Excellence in Anadolf. It's minimum 2 hours.
Yeah.
So why would you waste somebody's time of 4 hours sitting in the car to do less than 2 hours work? It doesn't make economic sense to me from a physical point of view, never mind from a money point of view, you know?
So what prompted that? Like, was that discussions with the players, or was that from your own involvement and looking at that report yourself?
It'd be from my own involvement and from being involved with Cavan down the years and that. We would always try to cut down the amount of time players put on the road. Even when I was involved with Cavan, it would have been the same. And Cavan is only really an hour and 10 or 15 from Dublin. But you know what I mean? It's a non-productive time. And so when I seen an ASRI report telling me players would need 30 plus hours a week in the training, I said, something doesn't match here. Something's not marrying up here.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
It's funny to me.
I mean, in the end of the day, there's only 70 hits in a week, and if you put 7 forwards, you know what I mean? There's something that's not working out in that, in my sense. I don't know. I think it could have been slightly exaggerated, or it could have been based upon some counties because of the long distance that they're traveling.
Yeah, and I suppose that's incorporating gym time and everything as well, as you said. That it's funny you mentioned the idea that you're a football focus. Like, I'm wondering, with the prioritising of the league, like, what role would the new rules play in your own training?
Well, the new rules are the new rules. We would have practiced them in training, some of them, you know, and you have to incorporate it. You know, people, like, we picked the hand pass route as always, the most contentious one, and that's the one that's been taken away. And my problem wasn't that it was a new rule and everybody will adapt to the new rules. My problem with it was that we're fundamentally telling guys at 24 and 25, you can't do what you've been taught since you were 7.
Yeah.
Because we were all our systems, all our training regimes and all these cones and everything, the kids and everything else, probably 67% of what they're doing in training is all handball or hand pass related. And you know what I mean? Nobody tells you can only take 2 or 3. So therefore, it was open season. So then we're now telling guys, well, no, the rule has changed. You can't do that, which is fine. I have no problem with that. But then probably need to start that back at that age group rather than trying to introduce it in at a short notice or possibly give people a year's notice down the line, but this is what's going to be coming in next year. At least get yourself prepared for it.
In terms of your strategy as well, tactically, a lot of teams you see, like Carlow last year, got up out of Division 4, were playing a very quite defensive system. But with the scoreline leads were put up at the weekend, there definitely doesn't seem to be any Black Death, for want of a better phrase, that unfortunately was getting bandied about in Leitrim these days.
Yeah, well, look, you know, I suppose it's everything is about getting the defensive side and the offensive. If you have a leaked defence, you've got to get that sort of sport. You don't point ending up and kicking a high number of scores at the other end and conceding too much at that. But at the end of the day, you won't win the game doing that. So it's about to get the balance. And to be fair, we would have walked on the defensive side with Leitrim in the last couple of months, but again, we would have walked on the offensive side as well. And Leitrim at the moment have some very nice young forwards coming on. I think I think in years to come, you'll be hearing more about the Ryan O'Rourke's and the Jack Heslins of this world, you know, going forward.
Yeah, did that reputation bother you? Like, I know there was this misconception at times, like in 2016, I think Cavan were the highest scoring team in the league as well. Like, would you...
Is this the Black Death we're talking about now?
Yeah, exactly.
But I say, it bothered me because Morris had bandied around as well. I have to remind him that we were involved in the highest scoring game of all time in Ulster Championship.
Yeah, well, I would probably look at, you know, again, it's pundits and punditry, and this is where it come from. And Joe Brawley said it the other minute about Cavan being playing the Black Death, famously. And then we went up in 2014 and we played Derry in a championship match, and I think, if I'm correct, I think at the end of full time it was 18 points each. Yeah. And it went into extra time, and I think we'd ended up 122 or 123 to 20 something scores. But funny enough, Joe was at the game and he actually never commented on it. You know, so that's maybe maybe sometimes we just we can throw out a phrase and it catches on and it sounds good and you know what I mean. That's the way it is. It's a soundbite sometimes.
Yeah. So moving forward, then, like the barometer for success for Leitrim, would you have set kind of goals? Like I presume promotion is one of them. Is that what your aim is for the year?
Well, our aim for the league is promotion.
Yeah.
As I said earlier on, if it happens this year, great. If it doesn't happen next year, but it has to be Leitrim's goal because you will play better football the further up you get the divisions. And when you get up in there, as I said, footballers, they're not that they're any fitter or any faster, but they have to think faster because the action is moving that little bit quicker around them. And therefore, they're better equipped to go into championship.
Before you go, I suppose the something that kind of has come up this week and a lot of the places after the, how well the last weekend went is the idea of maybe either flipping the GA year so that the league would come after the provincial champions or maybe even a tiered championship, which seems to be something that Congress are going to address next year. Would you be in favour of that?
Yeah, well, look, I was involved with County Teams when the league was split pre-Christmas and after Christmas.
Yeah.
And I personally, I often felt that that was a better system. And it had less impact maybe on club players because you weren't just going this long run of 2 to 3 months because the county player wasn't available and he was focused on nothing else on the county football. So it's hard to know. I mean, the league coming after the championship, I suppose it's a bit where the GAA puts the priority on the competition and the competition that's in to get the Friday championship because they want summer fun, Sundays, they want good weather, they want the people to get out, and it's a case of where that priority moves in. You know, I mean, most other sports, the league is actually the top competition. It just seems to be that it's unique to the GAA that the championship is.
Yeah, like could players and managers dictate that too? I mean, obviously, like Leitrim players surely want to be playing teams at their own level and kind of competitive, entertaining games that way. And even managers themselves could kind of dedicate resources towards that if that came to be.
You have to be very careful about managers and power. See, the managers have no power. You have no that. Yes, look, I'm sure they do. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think players have any issue as they just want to play football and whatever the competition they're in is, as long as they can compete in that level, that they're usually quite happy. And whether I'm assuming you're talking about maybe a 2 or tier type competition or that, mm-hmm. but provided that lower tier teams are properly resourced, and I don't mean money resourced, I mean from coaching and further bringing them through, because I'm a great believer just because you're small doesn't mean you can't be good. I think if everybody gets the same amount of resources put into them as people coming through, no matter what they're doing in life, they will be an awful lot better for it. But if they're going to get less resources, they're not going to be as good as everybody else.
Sinead is our sound woman here on Terrastock, but she's gone to hear Beyonce.
New girl.
Beyonce.
Beyonce's not his wife, is that what you're saying?
Beyonce. So Sinead has gone to hear Beyonce.
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 Well, there's obviously a new girl and that.
Beyonce is playing.
Who's here?
Good night, Bianca.
Yeah, we all said it.
Good night, Bianca. Hey, baby.
Emotional.
Very
emotional.
Very emotional.
And I hope it doesn't happen to Bianca.
Great stuff from Terry there. Now, we might as well talk about games that are actually on this weekend.
Rather than an imaginary 15.
And what that means is a return for Guess the Handicaps, a game that we actually debuted last year on the So-Called Weaker podcast. And while that name might not have been successful, the game certainly was. So we're going to go with 5 games. I've selected 3 from football and 2 from hurling that are playing this weekend. The first game that I have on my list here is Roscommon Monaghan. And we're going to start with Mark. So Mark, guess the handicap.
I'm going to go with Monaghan -2.
Okay. Aaron?
I am going to go with Monaghan -4.
Okay. The answer is Monaghan -2. Mark 1-0.
Yes! So are we going back? What rules are we playing now? Do I get 2 points
again? No, that's out. That rule is gone. I'm presenting this year. It's 1 for you're right and nothing if you're wrong. And there's no change to that.
That's not fair. Maybe if it's a tie, it goes back to who got the most on the nose.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Round 2 is Donegal Meath in Division 2.
Me first.
You're up first. Yeah.
I would say Donegal. Is it in Ballybuffet?
It is.
I would say Donegal minus four.
Mark.
Donegal minus five.
One all, minus three.
Oh! Jeez, that's a good bet, isn't it?
On Donegal, absolutely.
Minus three.
Yeah.
Division three game, Westmeath versus Carlo.
Low scoring.
That's one that you bet on under 28.5 points or whatever it is. Westmeath and Carlo. I'm going to say Westmeath minus one.
I'm going to say Carlo minus one.
I know Westmeath have to be favourites for that.
Westmeath minus two.
Oh, freaking.
2-1.
We're going off to hurling. Carlo, again, against Galway. The first time they've played in, I think, 60 years. Oh, Jesus. This is a Carlo team round up. Bonner's doing really good work there. A decent league run out last week against Dublin. A team that...
They're very good. They were leading going into near half-time, or it was a draw until near half-time, wasn't it?
Joe McDonagh, champions, first year in the league now.
Yeah.
So, this is Aaron who's first.
Yeah, Galway, all right. I would have to, you know, Galway minus... Five?
Oh, Galway minus 12.
Galway minus 11.
Ah! Jesus.
So you're playing for pride here, Aaron. We've got the final hurling game is Laois Waterford.
By the way, like, I mean, I am from Northern Ireland here. You know, hurling doesn't happen where I'm from. Like, so what? Laois versus
Laois. Mark, are you up first here?
Oh, he's up first. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Laois Waterford.
Laois Waterford. Waterford minus 10.
I would say Waterford minus 8.
Minus 10 on the button.
Oh, you bollocks.
Hey! So that'll be first time to the dance.
So Mark is the interim champion for this week. The fact that I'm in presenting and not competing has a lot to say with that.
Apologies.
So a solid debut for Aaron.
Well, apart from that quiz at the end, which was a joke.
Having done these podcasts for a while now, there's a sort of, you know, people know who we are. I'll try and just talk about Cavan all the time and get angry at inane things. Morris is the man who is like a professor of all
of
things.
Of everything.
GAA. Yeah. What do we need to know about Aaron? Tell us three things the listeners should know about Aaron.
Three things. I mean,
GAA related is possible. But
10 minutes ago, he asked me for my five favourite friggin' footballers and I couldn't tell you. I got to about three and I had to stop. Three GAA things. I would say... I have, anybody that probably knows me, I have a very passionate disdain for Tyrone. And I mean, God, it'll probably come across. I respect them as footballers, but as people, you know. let me see. I'm very Ulster based in terms of my knowledge. It probably showed there in that bloody team. There's 12 friggin' defenders playing. Yeah. And thirdly, look, I just try to be fair. I try to call it how I see it. I don't know what you want me to tell you, Mark.
That was good. That
is it fair to say you're a mild mannered person?
Very
on the field.
On the field? No. No. I think we had a conversation in the office the other day, and Dylan, one of the guys that works for us, was telling me about how many times he'd been sent off. He's gone once or twice. He goes, I've been in trouble a few times. I would say my record on the field is probably about 7 or 8 red cards, straight reds as well. You know,
and that's in Ulster football.
Yeah,
too.
See, that's it. That's
you have to do a lot.
Proper men, boys. Proper men. You know. So,
as I said at the start of the show, we're looking for your suggestions for our title of this podcast. So please do get in touch with that, and we'll get a package together and get that out to the winner. But for now. Thanks a million for listening. Mark, thanks for joining me.
No bother.
Aaron, good stuff.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Talk to you later.
I don't want to see you coming back in here with dirty jerseys. I want to see you coming back in here with bloodstained jerseys.
Look at anybody going sitting up a pint with those boys after that.
And the referee is looking around and acting as Mickey.
Tell the children to play tennis or something.
If they want to play tennis, go and play tennis.